Amen. Thank you, Carol and Karen. What a blessing. Acts chapter 1. Acts chapter 1 and verse 1. Acts 1, 1. The former treatise have I made, O Theophilus, of all that Jesus began both to do and teach, until the day in which he was taken up, after that he through the Holy Ghost had given commandments unto the apostles whom he had chosen, to whom also he showed himself alive after his passion by many infallible proofs, being seen of them 40 days and speaking of the things pertaining to the kingdom of God. And being assembled together with them, commanded them that they should not depart from Jerusalem, but wait for the promise of the Father, which, saith he, ye have heard of me. For John truly baptized with water, but ye shall be baptized with the Holy Ghost not many days hence. When they therefore were come together, they asked of him, saying, Lord, wilt thou at this time restore again the kingdom to Israel? And he said unto them, It is not for you to know the times or the seasons which the Father hath put in his own power, but ye shall receive power. After that the Holy Ghost is come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and in Samaria and unto the uttermost part of the earth. I want to talk to you tonight about the missionary of missions. Father, please speak to our hearts through thy word tonight. I pray that you'll help us to concentrate these next few minutes on the word of God and what you say and apply it to our own lives, that we would be different tonight because of the word of God, and that we might be better suited to please you and to do your will through the week. And so please have your will and way in our lives, I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. We're talking about a time for missions throughout the month of October, and we talked this morning about the mission of missions, and that is getting out the seed. And we don't want the seed. We would never want to face God and have to answer him, well, yes, the seed is yet still in the barn. We want to tell him, no, Lord, we're getting the seed out. We're just getting it out. We're getting it out in Adrian. We're getting it out in Lenawee County. We're getting it out in the United States. We're getting the seed out in the world. And it is a blessing to walk down the hall there and look at all the missionaries and where they go and where the seed is being spread. And we have a part in it. And so the mission of missions to get out the seed. You have the seed. I have the seed. We have our Bibles. We have tracts. If you don't have tracts, we'll get you tracts. And the mission is to get that seed out. Now, tonight I want to talk to you about the missionary of missions. It's very interesting in Acts chapter 1, and it's been a long time. Years ago, I preached through the book of Acts. I don't believe I did that here. I can't remember, but I know I have gone through the book of Acts and taught that before, but I haven't thought a lot about chapter 1 for a while. And verse 3, it says, to whom also he showed himself alive after his passion, after he died on the cross, he rose again, he showed himself alive. And he showed himself alive by many infallible proofs. And it reminded me of the key to the early church and all that they did and the inspiration and the excitement and the motivation, I think, was the resurrection of Jesus Christ. He rose from the grave. And again, you know, we need to be reminded of that, not just at Easter, but all the time, that, hey, up from the grave he arose, and we are witnesses that he's alive. But I'll get to that in a minute. And so verse 3, again, he showed him, he made sure that these disciples, the apostles, they knew, no doubt about it, he's alive. He's alive. Judas had committed suicide, and so Justus or Matthias were going to be chosen. And notice what it says in verse 22, in the choosing of those two to replace whichever one would replace Judas. It says in verse 22, beginning from the baptism of John under that same day that he was taken up from us, must one be ordained, notice what it says, to be a witness with us of his resurrection. And so the requirement, one of the requirements that they would have to meet is they had to have seen him after he rose from the dead. Why? Because they needed to be a witness that he's alive. They needed to be a witness that, hey, Jesus is not dead. He's alive. He gives unto us eternal life. And by the way, that is pretty important, amen. I mean, that is pretty important. So they had to be a witness of it. And look at Acts chapter 4, verse 33. Acts 4 and verse 33. And with great power gave the apostles witness, what's it say? Of the resurrection of the Lord Jesus. And great grace was upon them all. And so throughout the book of Acts, we see that a witness of the resurrection was absolutely essential for spreading the gospel. It was crucial. And these witnesses, they were to witness of what Jesus Christ had done in dying on a cross, in being buried, but rising again, and a witness of eternal life. What an amazing thing that we can proclaim. But then he says in Acts chapter 1, verse 8, ye shall be witnesses unto me. Ye shall be witnesses. And immediately I have to think that we're witnessing something that is absolutely a miracle. I mean, a resurrection is a miracle. You've got to admit. And witnesses unto me, witness of the resurrection. And witness of all that Jesus, you know, it says in verse 1 of chapter 1, it says, the former treatise have I made, O Theophilus, of all that Jesus began both to do and teach. And now we're witnesses. We're witnesses of his resurrection. We're witnesses, according to verse 3, by many infallible proofs that he is alive. And we're witnesses of what he did and what he taught. And we're witnesses of all these things. But the motivation, the thing that we can witness of is he lives, Christ Jesus lives today. He walks with me, he talks with me along life's narrow way. He lives, salvation to impart. You ask me how I know he lives? He lives within my heart. And I'm a witness of this thing. He lives. He lives. We serve a risen Savior. A risen Savior. He's in the world today. I know that he is living. Whatever men may say. They can say whatever they want to say. But I know he lives. How do you know he lives, preacher? Well, he lives within my heart. Hey, disciples, apostles, you got to be a witness of the resurrection. You know, I'm afraid I watch a lot of Christians today, and it's almost like we don't think that. We're not real sure about that. We're not sure. I think he lives. He said he lives, and the Bible says he lives, but I'm not so sure. Oh, listen, I'm a witness of his resurrection. I'm a witness that he lives today because he lives within my heart. The missionary of missions, he's a witness. He's a witness of all that Jesus did, all that Jesus taught, but even bigger, he's a witness that of the resurrection, the eternal life. We're a witness of real, eternal life in our souls, in our lives. A witness. I'm a witness to that thing. Everybody's story is different. Everybody, I'm sure we can hear story after story. Some were saved here at this altar. Some were saved in their home. I was saved in my home. I was saved. Nobody was going through the plan of salvation, but somebody had gone through it. You were saved maybe in your car. Maybe you were saved along a highway. Maybe you were saved in a revival meeting. Maybe you were saved while you were doing your devotion sometime. But the thing that we witness to is he lives in my heart. I'm saved. I'm born again. He's not dead. He died on the cross. He paid for my sin. But he lives, and he lives today in my heart. And I have eternal life because he lives. Because he lives. And so again, the missionary doing the mission, he's a witness. What do we take the seed and we tell. We tell people, oh, sure, we tell them exactly what the seed says. But I'm not just out here telling you this works. I'm telling you, I'm a witness to this. I know he's alive. I know salvation is real. I know that you can be saved and you can know you're saved and you can know you're going to heaven. I know you can have peace with God. I know you can. The guilt can be gone. I know that it can be lifted right off of you. And I know, okay, the Bible says it, and I'll show you how the Bible says it, but I'm telling you today, I'm a witness. I'm a witness. He's alive. I'm a witness today. He died for me. He paid for my sins. I'm a witness today, though. He's alive. It's real. It's real in my life. And it can be real in your life. The missionary of missions. Let's look at this. Number one, the qualifications of a witness, a missionary for the Lord. What are the qualifications? Well, you know, a witness, and I love the fact that he uses the word witness. Okay, did you see him? Did you see him after he rose from the grave? Okay, Justice, Matthias, we have one very simple question. You want to take Judas' place, or we're considering you to take Judas' place? And listen, we got to ask you a question. Have you seen him? Have you seen him? Because if you're going to be a witness, you need to be a witness with us of his resurrection. One thing we're gonna have something in common here. We are gonna all testify he's alive. We're all in agreement here. Hey, Jesus Christ. Oh yeah, we saw him hang on the cross. We saw them take him down from that cross. We saw a soldier shove a spear into his side. We know that he died and we know that he was buried. But bless God, we also know that he's risen. And before you're gonna be with us in this thing, you've got to be a witness. You've got to be, well, what are the qualifications? Well, the qualifications is to be able to tell what you know. That's it. Amen. To be able to tell. A witness is one who tells what he knows. In a trial, they call the witness. Why do they call him? Because he's cute? No. Why do they call him? Well, because he's knowledgeable. No, not because he's knowledgeable. He has to tell what he knows about that situation. That's why they call the witness. And for you and I, to be a witness, it's just a matter of saying, okay, here's what I know. Well, what do you know? I know he lives. I know he lives. I know he saves. I know he takes the guilt away. I know that my sins are in the depths of the sea. I know they're as far as the east is from the west. And I know that he lives. And because he lives, I'm going to live. What do you know? Well, I know he said that ye may know that ye have eternal life. He said, I can know that, and I do know that. I know I have eternal life. People say, you know, well, you can't know that you're saved. My Bible says I can know that I'm saved. Amen. Well, how do you know you're saved? Because I did what he said to do. Well, how do you know he saved you? Because he's here. That's how I know. I know. There is no doubt about that. Well, are you talking about a feeling? And we deal with this all the time today. You talk to anybody about the Lord today, and you're going to find more and more people talk about, well, I feel this or I feel that. It has nothing to do with feeling. It has everything to do with he's there. I know he's there. He's there when I don't feel good. He's there when I feel great. He's there. He's there. Why? Because he lives. Because he's not dead. Hey, you understand? The Mormons can't say that about Joseph Smith. The Buddhists can't say that about Buddha. You know, the Muslims can't say that about Muhammad. All the cults and all the isms and all the different things, they cannot say that about their leader. That can only be said by many infallible proofs about the Lord Jesus Christ. He lives. I'm a witness of this thing. And the qualification of the witness is to tell what he knows. Honestly, we make soul winning so difficult, and it doesn't have to be. We make it as if it all hinges on us and what we say. No, what we just need to say is what we witnessed. Yeah, give the word of God, and if you're going to say anything at all, just say what you witnessed. Amen. Honestly, go through the Romans road and say, and here's what he did for me. This is what happened to me. You know, he's real. He really is. Hey, at 17 years old, I drove home convicted, knowing I was on my way to hell, knowing Jesus could come and I'd be left behind. And at 17 years old, I was weeping and I was pulling off to the side of the road because I was so burdened about that. And I knew that I was lost and I knew that he would save me and I knew that I ought to get saved, but I just didn't get saved. And I drove and I drove and I pulled off and wept and drove I don't even remember how long it was. I finally pulled into my driveway and ran into my bedroom and knelt by the bed and called upon Jesus. And I'm telling you, he came into my heart and he saved my soul and he wiped away my sins. And I know that. I know that. What is your salvation experience? You know, the missionary of missions, you have to understand, okay, there's training. Okay, there's deputation. Okay, there's, you got to do this, you got to do that, and all these different things. But understand, the most important thing is, are you a witness? Can you tell what's happened? You know, honestly, I think about all the lost missionaries that are out there, you know, represented by churches that don't believe you can know you're going to heaven. I think about the Jehovah false witnesses that do not know that they have eternal life. Are you listening? They're out there. They're very faithful. Can you imagine knocking on somebody's door and wanting to talk about eternity, and you yourself do not know whether you are secure eternally? I'll never forget the fellow down in Pensacola when we were in college, and it was 90 some degrees outside, and an elderly man came to the door, and he was a Jehovah Witness. And I just looked at him, you know, and he started in all his stuff, and I just said to him, I said, "Sir, if you died today, do you know you'd go to heaven?" It was like he'd never thought about it. And tears started to stream. He said, "Well, everybody would like to know." I said, "Oh, yes, everybody would like to know that, wouldn't they?" And I'm standing there, Brother Hawkins, and I'm thinking, I do. I do know that. Amen. I do know that. I mean, this man is out in 90-some degree heat, and he's an elderly man. He's struggling. Sweat is pouring down his face, and now tears are coming down his cheeks. And he says, "Well, it'd be great if you could know that." And he's in a system that doesn't tell him the truth, that you can. You can know that. Oh yeah, you need to be saved. That's the qualification of a witness. Saved. Know you're going to heaven. Where were you saved? When did you get saved? How did you get saved? Do you know you're saved? If you know you're saved, tell people. Talk about it. Talk about it over and over. Over and over. Talk about it. People say I talk about it too much. You can't talk about it too much. Talk about it. And the older you get, the easier it is to forget things. You do. You start forgetting things. I don't want to forget that day. Talk about it over and over again. Why? Because it's your witness. Tell people, I know he's here. He came into my heart. I'm always reminded, think about the cantata. Then Jesus came, and the boy gets saved. He goes, "He came in, just like you said." And I still remember those lines from that cantata because it's so powerful. Because he did. It's exactly what happens when you get, "He came in, just like you said. He did it." Are you saved today? Do you know you're saved? Do you know for sure you're saved? If you're not sure you're saved, then you ought to get saved. Because God says you can be sure you're saved. And a witness, he knows that Jesus lives in his heart. I know he saved me. I know he's real. He lives right here. And he keeps me. Praise God. The qualifications of a witness or of a missionary. Number two, the quieting of a witness. Number one is the qualifications of a witness. We're talking about the missionary of missions, and certainly as missionaries ourselves, we all are. Amen? But the qualification, you need to be saved and know you're saved. Number two, though, the quieting of a witness. Because Jesus said, "Ye shall receive power, and ye shall be witnesses unto me." We are that. Then why in the world would we be quiet? That's a good question. Because we are witnesses. Matthias was the one that was chosen. Verse 26, they gave forth their lots. The lot fell upon Matthias, and he was numbered with the 11 apostles. Verse 22 said, though, he had to be a witness of the resurrection. That means, by the way, just because you saw it doesn't mean anything special. Are you willing to talk about it? Matthias, will you tell people that you saw him alive? Hey, Christian, will you tell people that he lives? Will you tell people he lives in my heart? Will you let people know? The quieting of a witness. There actually is only one person that wants us to be quiet, and that's the devil. He doesn't want us to tell. Can you imagine as word spread that Jesus rose from the grave? How embarrassing that was to the devil. I can imagine he probably tried to keep it from his demons. You know? I mean, he did not want that to spread. But oh, it spread, didn't it? Tell the guards to say that his disciples came in and stole his body. Right? That's like these big old strong guards saying, you know, that'd be like some big old strong guy here in church. I'm trying to find somebody that's big and strong, like Bob Wilbar. That's like Andrew beating him in arm wrestling. You know, I just don't think that's going to happen. And it's like the disciples are going to whip the Roman guards that are guarding the tomb and steal his body. That's a joke. But you know, that's the devil and his lie. Because he doesn't want anybody to know Jesus lives. I'm afraid, really, in so much of Christianity, the idea of Jesus being alive, it just is, it's kind of fading. Because the witnesses aren't witnessing. They're not witnessing with their mouth. They're not witnessing with their countenance. It's like the story is one of doom and gloom instead of one of hallelujah, Christ arose. But the mission, we can't be quiet. It says in 1 Thessalonians 2:18, Satan hindered us. And you know, he does everything he can to hinder our witness. He does everything he can to keep people where you work from hearing that Jesus is alive. He does everything he can to keep your family from hearing that Jesus is alive. He does everything he can to keep people in Ireland from hearing that Jesus is alive. And oh, I know the Koreans want to be in Ireland so bad. Pray for them. Missions conference. You know, I think I pray especially for the Pickenpaws at missions conference. I know how hard it is. And then Don's up here leading singing. And I know what he'd like to be doing. And I pray especially for them. I pray for the Koreas. And one of the reasons I had Brother Korea speak was so he could be a part, because it's hard. I know it's hard because they want to be on the mission. But Satan's going to fight it. And governments and different things, you know. Why? Because Satan doesn't want people to hear. I thought of Brother Gooseman as he was speaking, and boy, he did a good job. Just perfect for after banquet message. Amen. It was just perfect. And so he, you know, and I'm thinking about that little group of people that was in that little store, but so many all around, you know, Satan is you know, I don't want them to hear it. I don't want there to be any light. I don't want anybody to know he's alive. I don't want anybody to know that Jesus lives and he can live in their heart. Why, wouldn't you think that everybody, if they really knew that they could have eternal life, wouldn't they want it? Why are people so blind? Why is it when we knock on doors and go soul winning and talk to people in the store and try to give them a gospel tract, why is it they look at us like, are you nuts? Hey, I'm talking about eternal life here. And they curse, slam the door, whatever. Why? Well, because Satan, he didn't want them to hear it. He didn't want them to know. He didn't want them to believe. He doesn't want them to receive Christ. And so he does all he can to quiet a witness. What would quiet a witness? Well, one thing that quiets a witness is doubt. You can't, you're a bad witness, and you know, ask a trial lawyer. You know, here's somebody, well, now sir, I understand that you saw, well, I think I saw. You think you saw? Well, I'm not sure if I saw. Sir, did you have your glasses on? No, and well, how far can you see with your glasses? Well, I can't see very far without my glasses. And you didn't have your glasses on? No. You know, don't call us, we'll call you. Right? Did you see? Well, you know, I might have seen, but I might not have seen. Oh, don't call us, we'll call you. If there's doubt, obviously, folks, we're going to have problems being a witness. By the way, if we give off doubt in the way we live, day in and day out, we're not being a very good witness. Does he live or not? Do we have eternal life or not? Hey, come on. The people in Acts, they were being persecuted. Read it. Persecution is coming to them one by one. Persecution is coming to their city one by one. They're hearing about it. Saul was a persecutor. He had the orders on the road to Damascus to persecute the Christians there. And those Christians are getting persecuted. And many are dying for the cause of Christ. What are they saying, though? They're saying, "He lives! He lives! Christ Jesus lives today." Amen. How do you know? Because he's here. Wow, you're different. You really are different. You rejoice when it rains. You praise the Lord when the sun doesn't come out. You're excited when you have trials. You're still rejoicing though you're in prison. You're singing and you've been beaten. What's wrong with you? He lives. Amen. I know it. You know, if we doubt, it gets us in a lot of trouble. That's why Satan is trying to get us to doubt the Word of God. You know, that's why there's, you know, somebody said, why are there all these different versions out there? Because Satan knows exactly what he's doing. Because as soon as there's that little seed of doubt planted, all of a sudden our witness is gone. It's gone. He'll do everything he can to quiet the witness. Doubt is a problem. Fear is a problem. You know, we fear that we'll say the wrong thing. That's a silly thing. Just tell what happened. Get your Bible, show the Romans wrote, and tell what happened. That's a witness. That's what you do. You don't have to go into, well, I got to talk them into it. You can't talk somebody into it. Get that out of your mind. All right? We're not tricking people into salvation. You can't trick people into salvation. We're not after numbers. We're out to tell the truth and to be a witness of what happened. This fear thing, you know, fear of being ridiculed, fear of being rejected. But listen, just be the witness. You know, keep your tracts, give them out, don't worry. Tell people every chance you get. Tell them. The missionary of missions. The qualification is to be a witness and to tell what you know. But so many are quieted, the quieting of the witness. You know, understand, a missionary is just a name unless they're doing their mission. That's it. Yeah. These folks that were here through this last week, you have to understand. I mean, they are wanting to spread that seed. They are wanting to witness about what the Lord's done in their life. Unconcern keeps a lot of people quiet. We're so concerned with ourselves. So concerned with, what about me? What about my feelings? Hey, okay, you're concerned about Scotland, what about me? Well, you're worried about military people, what about me? What about my feelings? What about what's happening in my life? Oh, folks, listen, it'll stop you if you keep concerned with yourself so much. You know, say, we are selfish. We are very selfish people, and it should be a battle every day. It's why Paul said, I die daily. Who did he die to? Self. Why? So that he could be the missionary that God wanted him to be. Because you're not going to be a good witness that he lives when you're so bogged down with yourself. I'll tell you think about yourself enough, you'll become very discouraged. It's inevitable. Sin in life will quiet the witness. It zaps our power. God said, ye shall receive power. But sin will zap that power. No matter what it is, no matter what it is. Again, well, nobody knows. Okay, well, fine. You have no power, though. So what if nobody knows? I would venture to say that most of the sins committed right here, nobody knows. But I have a question. Do you have power? Do you witness for Christ? I don't know if there's anything more lonely than standing on somebody's doorstep and knocking on the door, because you're supposed to, and knowing your heart's not right with God. I don't know of any worse place to be. What do you think? Soul winners? What do you think? Brother Korea, you ever been there? And your partner's all fired up. And you're thinking, I don't think anybody's home. You're hoping nobody's home. Because you know you're all alone. Hey, you do the talking this time. Now, just because your partner says you do the talking, that doesn't mean, are you in sin? No. But I'll tell you what, it happens, though. It'll quench our witness. You know, when we're in sin, when sin and things are going on in our life and it's sinful and it's garbage and all that, do you understand we're not doing anything for the cause of Christ as far as witness? The missionary of missions, they've got to have their heart right. We do. We do. And then another thing that quiets our witness is when we come up with our other ideas. How many of you remember silent witness sunglasses? Remember that? I can't remember. The Miss USA, Anita Bryant, came out with those years ago. I was a new Christian, and that was the thing. You know, well, we don't tell anybody. We just have a dove on our sunglasses, and people get saved. You know, all these different ideas. Look, nothing takes the place of us simply, you know what? Jesus is in my heart. He's given me eternal life. Wouldn't you like it? Well, I didn't know you could. I didn't realize people could know they're saved. Oh, yeah. Yeah, you can know. You really can. He's in my heart. You mean you know you're going to heaven? Yeah. Yeah, what a great thing to know that we're going to heaven. He said, ye shall receive power. Ye shall receive power. And power to do what? To be a witness. To be a witness. You know, we're missionaries to Adrian. You can be a missionary to your workplace, a missionary to your school, a missionary to your business, a missionary to your family, missionary to your neighborhood, and we can have our part in being missionaries all over our area that where we live, because we are a witness. But are we a quiet witness? Number one, qualifications of a witness. Number two, the quieting of a witness. And then the last thing, number three, the qualities of a witness. And the qualities that I think we should think about is, number one, is being obedient. Obedient. You know, over and over the Bible commands, go ye into all the world. Go, 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 go. Find people. Go. Wherever you go, take the gospel with you. It's like I preached this morning, take that seed out everywhere we go. Go, go, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel. John 20, verse 21, as my Father has sent me, even so send I you. Just as my Father sent me, Jesus said, now I send you. I send you out. Be a witness. One of the great qualities of a missionary is to obey what God says. Paul, come over and help us. Wait a minute, I wasn't going that way. God says, go that way. Yeah, but it's not on the itinerant. I don't care. Go that way. I think it was Brother Hawkins and I talking in ensemble practice, not during, Don, never, but after or before, talking about Philip and the Ethiopian eunuch. God, you want me to leave a revival? There's a revival here. I'm doing a great work here. You want me to leave a revival? Yes. And so he leaves a revival, and now he looks around. And here comes one Ethiopian. Obedient. What God can do with someone who's obedient. What God will do with people that simply obey Him. Thankful. Being thankful. Go back to Psalm 40. Being thankful. I think some of these qualities are to offset the temptations for quietness. Psalm 40, verse 2, He brought me up also out of an horrible pit. Is that where you came from? That's where I came from. A horrible pit. out of the miry clay. That's sticky, black clay. You ever been in that before? You ever see it? We went down to Shreveport, Louisiana, and took a church down there, and it was a different world, honestly. I never even thought of anything quite like some of the things we saw there. But went soul winning and ran a little van route in the area where we lived, and it had all these promises. And I remember the guy that lived on Jericho Road. Remember the Jericho Road day? You were pretty young. And it was, we had a sign-up Sunday, and all these people promised to come. We had everybody signed up. We had 40 people signed up to come. Sign-up Sunday. We promise we'll be there. We'll sign our name. Do you understand? Not one of them came. Not one person. Oh, Pastor, down south, they just tell you that they're going to do something because they don't want to hurt your feelings. Well, anyway, before we found out that they didn't want to hurt our feelings, we went down Jericho Road, and it was pouring down rain. Jericho Road wasn't a road. In dry days, it was a dirt road, which means in rainy days, it was a
mud.
Yeah. And I have never experienced mud like this mud before. It's what I think of when I think of miry clay. It was clay. It was miry. It was sticky. It was nasty. And we went down the road to a little shack where this guy lived, and he promised he'd come to church. And I ran through the mud and knocked on the door, and I was stuck in the mud when I ran through the mud to knock on the door. And it was sticky, nasty, miry clay. Make a long story short, nobody came to the door. Make a longer story short, we couldn't get the car out of the mud. And so David got out, I believe. Mrs. Rogers was behind the wheel. I was behind the car. And we pushed the car. And you know when the tires spin, what happens? Do you want to know what happens to the pastor's suit when the tires spin? And you know, that doesn't even come close to describing Psalm 40 in verse 2 and the mess that we're in before we get saved. Out of the miry clay, and he set my feet upon a rock and established my goings, and he hath put a new song in my mouth, even praise unto our God. Many shall see it and fear and shall trust in the Lord. And being thankful, boy, that makes all the difference in the world. As you witness, being thankful, and it'll keep you witnessing, and being compassionate. They that sow in tears shall reap in joy. Yes, compassion, remembering that where lost people go, remembering how miserable they are. Okay, the miry clay, the pit, that's where they are. Well, they sure don't act like it. I know. And you faked a lot of people out too, didn't you, before you got saved? Compassion. See, how do we lose our compassion? Look at Matthew 14:14. It talks about Jesus and his compassion. Matthew 14, verse 14. I don't know of anybody that served more than Jesus did. Jesus went forth and saw a great multitude and was moved with compassion toward them. And he healed their sick. He was moved with compassion. How do we lose our compassion? Well, one way we lose our compassion is when we're not close to him. I am the vine, ye are the branches. And if we're not close to him, if we're not abiding in him, then we miss out on his compassion. We lose compassion when we're not close to the Lord. We lose it. Well, I just don't care about them. I don't care what's going on. Come on. I mean, honestly, as you're watching the presentations, you know, I'm thinking about these missionaries, and I know what they're thinking, and tears welled up in my eyes. Now, I don't know those people, but I know they know those people, and I know they want to be there. Brother Gooseman's voice broke as he spoke of these people in this little store. Remember? Sure it did. Why? Because his heart's, he wants to be there. I get talking to the Korea sometimes, and Brother Elias, you know, his heart's broken because he can't be where he knows that is his ministry. You know, and if you lose compassion, you know, if you're here tonight and you say, you know, I really don't care about you. These flags mean nothing to me. These other countries, it doesn't really matter. In fact, people across the street, they've been nasty and mean. I really don't care. Check out your relationship with the Lord. Because I don't think you can spend time with Jesus and not pick up on his compassion. We lose compassion when we look at ourselves. Again, selfishness will wipe out our compassion. Because all we think about is what's going on with me. We lose compassion whenever we're carnal. When we're carnal. Flesh. We don't care. Doesn't matter. I know a lot of people were moved this week at the missions conference. And yet as a pastor, I know a lot of people it did nothing. Because of carnal living. You know, you can pray for compassion. Read your Bible, it'll bring compassion. Walk with God. Can two walk together except they be agreed? You don't spend time with Jesus and not pick up on the compassion. Compassionate. Qualities of a witness: obedience, thankfulness, compassion, zealous. Zealous. Man, I want to tell. I want to tell what I saw. I want to tell what he did. Here am I. Send me. Faithful. Can God count on you as a witness? Faithful to make sure that the power, everything's right, you're plugged in. Amen. Faithful. Free of guilt. You know, free of guilt. Qualities of a witness. I think about the missionary of missions, and I think, you know, the it just comes down to, here's what I saw. Now I need to tell people. I've got the seed. I have Jesus in my heart. He lives. I have eternal life, and now it's just a matter of telling people what I saw. I close with Ezekiel 33. Ezekiel 33. And verse 7. So thou, O son of man, I have set thee a watchman under the house of Israel. Therefore thou shalt hear the word at my mouth and warn them from me. When I say unto the wicked, O wicked man, thou shalt surely die, if thou dost not speak to warn the wicked from his way. That wicked man shall die in his iniquity, but his blood will I require at thine hand. Now, I'll tell you, I'll be honest with you, that brings a lot of guilt. That brings a lot of guilt. I'm not trying, but wouldn't it be nice to be free of that guilt? Give tracts. Pass it. Make sure people have tracts. Don't let anything stop you from getting an opportunity. Okay, if somebody's working, yeah, you don't interrupt their work to talk to them. That's not... You know, you don't want them to rob their boss of time or whatever, but give them a gospel tray. Hey, read this when you get a chance. Have them with you all the time. Get them out. And every opportunity you get, tell people, I have Jesus in my heart. People all the time. Brenda, we were at Mackinac Island. Somebody said, they said, what brings you here? And we said, well, we're at a pastor's conference or whatever it is. And I said, and we're kind of celebrating our anniversary. And they said, well, really, how long have you been married? And I said, well, or she probably said, we've been married 37 years. And they, wow, that hurts a little. But that is a long time. How do you do it? Oh, that's not hard. It's the Lord. The Lord. The Lord Jesus. He lives in my heart.